Let's begin our discussion again of a topic that can take us a number of shiurim. We'll try to squeeze into today as much as we can, and then we'll go from there. Obviously, the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim is a defining mitzvah, aseres hadibros, and there's a lot to talk about in terms of its appreciation and analysis on a conceptual level, and being the transition dibur in the aseres hadibros, number five, meaning it has a place on the first luach where it is, and it also is the transition to the next one. But the Rambam already writes in Hilchos Mamrim. I pointed out that Hilchos Mamrim is the Rambam's creation, right? The Rambam's genius isn't just that he formulated all of halacha, but he created certain areas of halacha that did not exist before. Hilchos Mamrim is one of them. Right? Hilchos Shabbos, we could have come up with that name, Hilchos Gerushin. Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam took Zakein Mamre, Kibud Av V'Aim, and Bensor Amora, and put them together and created Hilchos Mamrim, the laws of revels. Pretty amazing. But that's where Kibud Av V'Aim is found, Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam says, source number one, Kibud Av V'Aim, Mitzvahs Aseh Gedola. It's big, says the Rambam. This is big. V'chein Mora Av V'Aim, right? And also awe. We sometimes confuse, and we just call it Kibud, but it's really a little of both. And they're different. Kibud and Mora. Shakalos Anakasav, Bechvoda Ubamaro. Right, the Torah equalizes Kasuf Kabedes Vichol Et Imecha, Kabedes Hashem Mehoncha, Ubav Vimoksiv, Ish Imo Baviv Tiro. Shekadosh Baruch Hu the Torah compares Kibud Av V'Aim and Kibud and Awe of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kederach Tziba LaKavuch Mo Agadol Mora'o, Kach Tziba Kvodam Mora'am. In the way that we are commanded to honor and to respect our Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so too, we are commanded to honor and respect our parents, and we need constant chizik in this area. The Pizkei Tshuvos, and there's Pizkei Tshuvos on the Chalakim of the Mishnah Berurah, but there's also one volume I think his son came out with on various Simanim and Yaradeya. So there, on Kibud Av V'Aim, he writes, "Vitzara chizik gadol b'mitzvah zu. Kibud avonoseinu arabim rabba machshela bazeh michoser yidiyas gedulas mitzvah kedusha zu vilchoseha." Right, there's a... There's more packets over here. Pass them back. There's something about this generation that makes Kibud Av V'Aim even a little more challenging, because the parenting method of the olden days, let's say, then Kibud Av V'Aim was kind of like obvious, and it was easy to do Kibud Av V'Aim because your parents were there, and we were here. And it was like, there was a clear line. Nowadays, things are much more hamish. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's, you want to be a cool parent, you want to be a schmooze, and, you know, the lines are a little blurred, but that doesn't mean that Kibud Av V'Aim has changed at all, and there should be any difference between them. It makes it harder, again, as a parent. You know, in the days of old, you know, the Gemara talks about, Mishnah talks about hitting your children, and it's educational, and nowadays all the posts can talk about that it's chas v'shalom, terrible, you should never hit, and it'll revolve your rights. Right, if you force your kids to learn when they're supposed to be playing, they're going to be playing when they should be learning. Right, so Revolvi says we have to be very zahir in how we parent. But again, in the Pizkei Tshuvos, he reflects that, you know, that's the that makes it more challenging. In the top of the left side, Matsui Bazeri Fayom Ibn Shemitoch Herigol Ma'orim, because we're so used to it with our parents. Well, some Malev Rom Erech Hamitzvah V'Chomer Adiktukba. Again, we could have another shir. But again, it's a parallel line, the balance between a Rebbe and a Talmud. A rabbi, you know, the rabbi's got to be buddy-buddy with his congregants, but there always has to be that invisible line. The invisible line in order to keep the respect, and also with parents. There's an invisible line that as close we are with our parents, there always has to be that line. And again, it's a mitzvah that we have to appreciate and make sure that we focus on. There's an unbelievable line of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan writes in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Aleph. That's where most of the Kibud Av V'Aim sugyas come up there, in the third quarter of the longest parak in Shas, there in Kiddushin. Rabbi Tarfon, where it talks about what Rabbi Tarfon used to do. It's famous. Whenever Rabbi Tarfon's mother wanted to get into bed, he used to bend down. To bend down and give his mother a place to step on. Also, the Kamishtavach Medrasha, right? He felt good about his mitzvah. Amri le'adayin le'gadu l'chasi kavod. You haven't even done half of it, what you have to do for your mother. That's what the Rishonim talk about. What does that mean? Why they say that? Again, Kulum Zarka Arniki Bifanechal Yavalach Limta. Did she take your wallet full of all your credit cards and driver's license and passport and money and throw it into the sea? Has she done that, and did you not get mad at her? You know, if you haven't had that experience yet, so then, you know, there's, you haven't reached. Okay. But then Rav Yochanan says, well, Rav Yosef says, we'll get to this later, when he heard his mother's voice, Rav Yosef was blind. So Kishama Kalkara used to stand up. We'll get back to that, Bezer Shem. I'm Rav Yochanan. Ashrei mi shelo chaman. Praised is the one that has never seen his parents. Why do you say such a terrible thing? So the Gemara just continues with an editorial note. Rabbi Yochanan, ki avar te imo meis aviv, yaldasa meis imo. His father died when his mother was pregnant with him, and his mother died in childbirth. He never saw his parents. But he said, and only he's allowed to say this, it's so hard to keep it up a aim, you know, Baruch Hashem, that, you know, I never was put into the Nisayon. But again, there's something about that, right? The Gemara Sanhedrin says, some of the Amoraim said, I want Mashiach to come, but not in my generation. Because the difficulties before Mashiach comes, so do they really mean it? There's a message there. There's a message there about, you know, the Chevli Mashiach, but there's a message here about Rabbi Yochanan. We all know the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos also. Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 children. What kind of life did Rabbi Yochanan have? Think about it. He was an orphan and he lost 10 children. And he wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi, as if he was sitting under a tree, relaxing, and no tzaras. This is Rabbi Yochanan, and he lost his chavrusa in the end, Rish Lakish, amazing person. But either way, this is, again, reflects the seriousness. The Baal Yisod B'Sorah Shavoda says each year we have to chazer these halachas to always remember what to do. The Chazon Ish used to tell us Talmidim before Bein Azmanim. You know, now it's time to chazer. Right, just like Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, before it comes up Lamaisa, you have to make sure to remember, and then, so before Ben Azmanim, right, the Pesukei Jewish quote, source number 5, Chazon Ish haya noeg lomar lo bachurim lekras Ben Azmanim, shlevei shachoshim lebeis areyam chayavim lomo delchaz kibet aveim, b'shulchan aruch b'nos tekelim. Go over Simin Reish Mem in the Reish Mem Beis in Yeridea, and the other simanim where it is discussed, because this is what one has to focus on and remember and be ready to fulfill. Okay, Rav Pam used to say also, he quotes that people used to sometimes, as parents get older, there's some complaining about it. You have to realize the bracha that one has and the privilege that it is to fulfill this mitzvah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit l'maisa. Again, that's just a little background. Lamaisa, before we get into the very Lamaisa nitty-gritty, there's a Lamaisa question that's asked, and this question is asked by many mitzvos, and that is, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim? Before we walk into my house, I should make a bracha. Before, my father asked me to get him a cup of water. Sure. Baruch Adonai Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Whenever there's a mitzvah without a bracha, the Rishonim deal with. Why isn't there a bracha? Right, we're not used to it, but every mitzvah that does not have a bracha, the Rishonim deal with it. So one of the two discussions of this in the Rishonim, the Rashba and the Abu Draham. So the Rashba, here in source number 7, in Simin Yud Ches, he asks why there isn't a mitzvah, a bracha on this mitzvah. So he says, like many mitzvos that have to do with other people, there is no bracha on a mitzvah shetali b'das acherim. If it has to do with another person's acquiescence, they might say no. You know, or, you know, like tzedakah. Sometimes it's happened, I'm sure, to some of you, you give an ani tzedakah and it's not enough for him, so he throws it back at you. So if you made a bracha there, then you just made a bracha of atala. Right, Mishloach Manos, some say. You know, and others. So kibbutz aim is one. Maybe you'll bring something and your parents really didn't want that. No, thanks, but that's not exactly what I wanted. So you might not fulfill it. So any mitzvah. The Ravid says, we don't pass in this way, the Ravid says by marriage you make a bracha after you get married, not before. Because maybe she'll say no. I know she's under the chuppah, but maybe she'll get cold feet. So we baskin, you know, you can say it beforehand. Maybe you could rely on the fact that, you know, up until now she's been okay, but the Rambam is not worried. But the Ravid says after. But again, this is the issue the Rashba says, that she efshar shleis ratza b'chadero, v'nimsa ma'isam is batel, and he quotes, matnis aniyim, nisina staka, halva, and others. But that's why the Rashba says there's no bracha also.
So why
don't you bracha
after?
On the Kibbutz. So generally we don't pass them like that, right? We don't make a bracha after we do a mitzvah. We only pass them before. There was another, the Chuvitz Ben Yamin Zeev, one of the Gdolim from the 1500s, and other Achronim say, to quote this afterwards, that maybe you only say a bracha on a mitzvah that distinguishes us from the Umos HaOlam. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. Mitzvos that even the goyim do, so that doesn't, it's a mitzvah. And there are major differences between how we do it and how they do it. But still, you know, kibud av'aim, the standards, the requirements of kibud av'aim for a Jew is very different than what the logic dictates for a non-Jew. Right? Hashavas aveda. There's no bracha on hashavas aveda, maybe for the same reason. Even though hashavas aveda is very different for a Jew and a non-Jew in terms of the halachas, in terms of what's obligatory upon us. Sometimes you hear on the news, you know, the taxi driver that returned the diamond ring, and it's like he's the Rosh Kibahag, like so surprising and amazing and unbelievable. So he is a wonderful person. But Judaism says that's obligatory. That's not just like a nice thing, amazing, we're going to lift him as a din. That's din. So there are differences between the parallel mitzvahs, but still, it doesn't exclusively express our Kedusha, and therefore there is no bracha on that. The last piece in the Aruch HaShulchan on Chosha Mishpat says this idea relating to a lot of the mitzvahs that have to do with Chosha Mishpat. I didn't give it to you, but that's number two. And finally, a third idea, which might be a very important idea regarding our context, and that is, maybe if I make a bracha on Kibud Av V'Aim, that would be formalizing it and kind of ruin it. What do I mean? There is a thought, I don't think I gave it to you, but there is a Rav Haigon quoted in the Ran in the end of Pesachim. Rav Haigon deals with why we don't make a bracha on Hallel at the Seder. We always make a bracha when we have to say Hallel. Why don't we make a bracha on Hallel at the Seder? Okay, because we make other brachas. Okay, but Rav Haigon says a beautiful line. Vaigon says, why? Because that Hallel, there are a lot of other questions also, but we'll just focus on this one. That Hallel is a Shira. It's not a Kriya. What does that mean? Explains Rav Soloveitchik. When we usually say Hallel, we're like, okay, I have an obligation to say Hallel. I'm going to say Hallel now. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, we have a mitzvah of Kriya of Hallel, and we say it. The Hallel of the Seder is not that. The Hallel of the Seder is not something that we have to say. It's something that we should want to say. It's something that after 2 hours of speaking about Tzibri Yetzias Mitzrayim, how Hashem is awesome and amazing and what he's done for us, by the end of those 2 hours, there should be a spontaneous outpouring of emotion. You are unbelievable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hallelujah. And just scream out with it. And if we'd be like, stop. Okay, guys, stop. Baruch atah Hashem, let us all recite the Hallel recitation. No, that ruins it. It formalizes it and ruins the whole thing. So maybe that's the same idea by, Rav said that by Tzibri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and by Hallel. Maybe it's the same idea by Kibud Av V'Aim. Can you get me a drink of water? Sure, you are my hefi timsi of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Thanks, Dad. Baruch Adah Hashem al-Kinema. No! It's supposed to be like this emotional connection. Rav Chaim Shulevitz writes, if we do Kibud Av V'Aim, but we're not machshiv, our parents at all, that ruins the whole idea. If I think I really, my father doesn't really deserve this, and I'm so much, he should be honoring me, and we ruin the whole idea. So maybe that's part of why, also, there is no bracha. Is this a mitzvah, ben adam l'makom, adam l'chaveiro? That's a chakira of the Minchas Chinuch, many nachkaminas. We're not going to do it. I just gave you the chakira. Here in Mitzvah Lama Gimel, he quotes this question, but there are many, obviously, issues that come up and relate. It's in the first luach. But as I said before, there's a separate share, maybe we'll talk about it on a Wednesday night, about the lumdis conceptual appreciation of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, that it's really a transition divor between Luach Echad and Luach Sheni. So let's get into some of the Lamaisa examples. First, let's talk about Mora. We're doing Mora and Kavod together, Mora. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Simon Reish Mem. It says Reish Mem in Yerodea in source number 12. Ezehu Mora. What does it mean, Mora? And we have to have Kavana for this, to do the mitzvah. Mora Av V'Aim. Lo Yamod Bimkomo Miyuchad Lo. Lamod Sham Besod Zekeni Mem Chaveirav. If my father has a place where he stands, seems like in shul or there's a public area, that's my father's spot. I'm not allowed to be stand in my father's spot. Omakam yuchalol espalel, or sit in his, or even stand at the place where he davens in shul. Or mora is what you're not. Kavod, we're going to get to what you do. Mora is a mitzvah saseh, But Mora is reflected in not doing things. Like Mora Mikdash is not going into the Mesa of Mikdash. Right? Mora is reflected by not doing. So Mora parents, not standing. This I think most know about not sitting in their chair, in their spot. Right? That's something that is in the Shulchan Aruch. That's even if, nothing to do with if your father being home or not. And by the way, everything same to them for the mother. Father and mother are equal in all of these halachas. Below so seres dvarav, right? And not, well, not. Let's hold off on that. Let's first talk about sitting a little bit. Sitting a little bit. What happens if I take my father's chair to a different spot? Is that okay? What about both ways? Taking the chair to a different place and sitting in it, or putting a different chair in that place? Those are both iffy. Those are both iffy. The Pesukei Teshuva, as he quotes, "V'le'inyan leishev al kisei miyucha la'av shelo b'mkomo, horu poskei zmanenu sheish lahachmir bazeh. Im nikar shakisei miyucha la'aviv." If it's clear. Again, is there mechila on a lot of these? There are. I remember sometimes growing up, my father had, you know, a study, and sometimes when I had to study and learn, I had to go in there. So I would never sit in my father's chair, Pastor Shalom. So I take it out. So I would sit on the other side. So sometimes I just sit, because it's like sometimes if there's a desk and there's like no place to normally sit. So if you take another chair, like, so if there's mechila, yeah, just sit there. It's fine. So there could be mechila. But the halacha is, lechachila, at least neither of those should be done. If it's clear that it's clearly one's parent's spot or clearly one's parent's chair. Good. That's in terms of sitting. What about the next line of the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch says, and it's all based on a brisa in Kiddushin and the Mefarshim. Below, so seres varav. Can't argue. We cannot argue and contradict. So seres varav. So seres varav. The Mefarshim say that even, let's say somebody's father is telling a story and they got something wrong in the story. But it's not something, if it's going to be embarrassing to the father or cause of any, some type of busha, so then in a certain way, kind of softly. But let's say it makes no difference. It makes no difference that he's telling the story and he said 8 instead of 10. And there's a detail that's wrong. Let it slide. Not only let it slide, it's usur. There's no reason to correct. Correcting is going against. That's the idea of kavod. You know, if there's nothing to correct, there's nothing to correct. But again, when it comes to stam stories, so then there's an idea of not contradicting. You know, when it comes to Torah, that's a shaila. You know, 2 points. Number one, what if you're learning with your father? You know, I don't like milchata shel Torah. So even there, it's got to be benachat. Right? There are heterim there. Right? The samachronim. Some achronim say the nativ writes in one place and based on earlier, but and the some of the earlier mafarshim. If you look in the Shevet Alevi, Rav Azar talks about this. Abadvar alacha mutter, avakar chokwal avakar rishonim. But the gamadvar alacha aser. You know, it's tricky. Again, that doesn't mean that just means to his face. If my father says something, I'm never allowed to paskin against him. But the Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden never argues, never said different things. The Rush and the Tur never argued on his father, the Rush. He did. So it just means, like, if my father had mutter, usur, you know, like we have to know. It's arguing to the face. It's arguing in a way that's not mechubad. That's what we're talking about here. And again, what if my father says something wrong? Not arguing. But the halach is wrong. Even there, first and foremost, we should know that it's not generally not a child's job to correct the parent. And that's crucial for talmidim, especially in you know, learning and then going back. So often there's a reaction to kind of like, okay, I learned in yeshiva for a year, so I know everything. And even 2 years, so I can go back and I know everything about Hilchos Shabbos there is to know. So I'm going to go back and tell everybody what to do. So first and foremost, it relates to a shita that we mentioned last week. You remember from the Prima Gadim? Prima Gadim said, if there's any, even das yachid, that says it's okay, then you're allowed to eat the food. Keep that in mind. That's crucial. But again, first and foremost, it's not a child's job. Unless a parent is bringing something up and wants to learn and is interested in something, it's not my job to tell my parents what to do. It's their job to tell me what to do. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So even if I think it's wrong, it's not my job. Not my job. So, let it. What if it's a halachic discussion? So even there, maybe, I think there might be another opinion. My Rebbe said something softly in a questioning way. But never, you know what? That's usher. Even if it's, I think that's usher, that's also not a good thing to say. Right? It's not that I think. Even if it's softly, we have to say it in a mechubad way, recognizing that 99% of the cases, yesh mi'amal l'smoch. 99% of the cases. There's something to rely on. Even if it's not, rova poskim, and we have to realize the privilege it's been, could be that sometimes parents or grandparents didn't have the privilege and the schus of going to learn for a year or two or knowing as much, but again, generally one has to be very careful in terms of this regard. And it's always better to err on the side of not saying something. Safik l'chumra here. Safik kibud av'eim l'chumra, I would say. And you could blame me in the if there's any questions, you could WhatsApp me after, and we could talk about the situation afterwards. But it's always good to err on that side. Okay, that's in terms of arguing. Yeah.
The pasuk in Vayechi for when Yosef wants to correct his dad, says like Lo Aviv Vayaser.
Right. So
exact lashon and kedushin says not to do.
Right. It's a question. The question about Yosef. Do we know exactly? He says, you know, that's a good question. Let's look at the mafarshim. Yosef says Lo Kein Avi. Yeah.
If parents says be like that, to do something like.
The parent asks you to do something embarrassing to the parents?
Yeah.
Like what? I'm saying, like where would that, like why would they be mevazeh me?
Yeah.
So I guess that's tricky. You know, to be zion is different than mochel on kavod. Sit in my chair, that's one thing. That's just not mora. Being mevazeh is different. Bimazah is different. The brother Rishonim discussed that chiluk by Kavod Rabo also, but I would be very, very nervous about that. Okay, calling one's parents by their name. So the Shulchan Aruch continues back in 12, Alo Yikrenu Bishmo. When is allowed to call their parent by their name, Lo Bechayev Lo Bemoso, whether the parent is alive or the parent has passed on. Elo Omer Abba Mari, Avi Mori, Hayashem Aviv Kishem Acherim. Right. What happens if the father's name is like somebody else's name? Ashanishmam, Imushem Shahu Peli, Shinako Regilim Likros Bo. Abashem Shagilim Bo, Mutter Likros Achirim, Shalobafana. Let's can discuss. Now, who's calling their father by the first name? They're not. But when does this come up? So, two cases. What happens if I have a friend over who has my father's name? Right. So, what do you do? My son had a friend. It's even worse. He had a friend named Shalom Rosner. Not just a friend of mine, Rabbi Rosner, who started Tiferet, so he has a son named Shalom Rosner, who was in my son's class. There was Shalom. It was like an Israeli pronunciation. It's a little different, but it's like that. You never get more like that. You have the same name in your house. But if it was like Cohen or Goldberg, that's one thing, but you would expect that. But anyway, but what if you have... So the poskim seems to say, if it's a common name that, you know, many people have, Moshe, David, Shlomo... So then Pashas, it's okay. Pashas is okay. But if your father has a very unusual name, and your friend has that same very unusual name, and it's, I don't know, there aren't so many Zvuluns. I mean, Zvulun is a fine name. It's one of the Shvatim, but it's not so common. Right? There's some other unusual name. Right? We find this already in the Amoraim. At least it's a Machlokes. The Machlokes Rishonim, what was Abaya's real name? Was it Abaya or was it Nachmeni? Or Rabba, the whole question. But according to the Aruch, I think it is, Rabba bar Nachmeni, right, was a friend of Abaya, and Abaya's name was Nachmeni. So how could Rabba bar Nachmeni call his friend Nachmeni when his father's name was Nachmeni? So he gave him the nickname Abaya. Either it means Av Hashem, which is my father, Abaya was an orphan, so my father is Hashem, or it's based on the Pasuk in Hosea, Asher Becha Yerucham Yasom. Abaya, Al Bez Yud Yud. But either way, so that's where it comes up. But in general, one has to be nervous about calling one's father. It's generally not allowed even La'achar Mosa. What about with a title? What if I'm the gabbai? That's always the shaila. So different hug him. Some gabbai says, Yamod, Avimori, Ravi. Those are the ones that are, you know. But then you have many others. I think the more of the common minhag is Yamod, Avimori. And he said the name with a title. So where does that come from? So the Ramah quotes that by Hilchos Rav, source 15. The Ramah says, Mutar Lomar, Rebbe Mori Ploni. And the Gra there says, V'chein Ba'aviv. The Gra says, also by a father. If you give a title like Abba Chalafta, right? Or others. Others say, Yochai Abba. Shemayachai. Yinai Abba. Right? There's a tshuva. Also some Rishonim say, the Tur quoted his father. The Rush. Right? So how did he quote his father? Rosh. Rabbeinu Asher. Or it's a nickname. He's the Rosh. He's the head. I'll take the question in a second. Let me just finish the point. The Yamshel Shlomo assumes that the father is more chomer than a Rebbe, so maybe with the title it's not. Rav Moshe assumes that Roy to Lola Hachmir, unless there's a tzorich. But again, you know, many say, I think Yishmi Amal Ismoch, in certain regards, that if you give a title, Yishmi Amal Ismoch, if you don't want to say it, it's okay, but that's the title. For identification purposes, somebody comes to the office and says, what's your father's name? Who? That happens sometimes. Well, who's your father? So, am I allowed to say my father's name? Right? So then you're not calling your father. You're just identifying. It's an identification. So then that's mutter. The Dibre Chaim, the Sanz Rav, in source 19, says that will be mutter if it's just for identification. Right? Somebody asks you your name for an aliyah. So what do you say? You say your name and your father's name. Right, without a title. Right, so that's because that's an identification purposes. If it's identification purposes, it's not being called up. You're not identifying, so then it would be okay. Okay, questions? Yeah.
So say you're the gabbai and your father's winning.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I would say that's a tzibur issue. So you could correct your father if he makes a mistake in laning. Look, I would say, just as a general Musarvart, if you're the Gabbai Sheni and it's your job there, you know, that's fine. There are those guys in shul that like love correcting. Right? We should try not to be those guys. You know, we should, you know, I be more machmir on Ben Adam Machavero and we'll miss a Nakuda. You know, and we should always err on the side of, did he say that? You know, well, I didn't hear it, so he must not have said it. Right? Even though everybody else in the shul heard it. Very, very, very mocked about these things. But yeah, I would say in that case, if it's your job, then you have to. Yeah.
You gave this unusual name. Why can't you name him?
It could appear like you're calling him. It could appear. I'm saying, but it's about your father's covet.
Wouldn't it make a difference? I mean, playing in Israel, whatever a lot of names are. Would it make a difference, like, your friends
before have
the same name as your mother or something?
It'd be the same thing. I've gotten emails, you know, shalom, I'm like, 5 minutes later, no, I didn't mean to, that's not your name, I was just saying hello. I'm like, I didn't take it that way. Yeah.
What about like in learning if someone's father were Shimon? Like in
learning is not a problem. Meaning, should you say, if your father's name is Reuven and you're learning Maseches Makos and you talk about Reuven killing Shimon every daf, right, so then maybe, yeah. Maybe you should, it's bad. I assume he would say that too. Right, so I don't think it would be a problem. Okay, I think it would be okay, yes. Good, so those are some examples of Moras. Let's get into Kavod a little bit. So Kavod. The Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet, source 22. Ezeo Kavod, it's amazing. We think of like Kibbutz of Aim as when our parents give us something, say thank you. That's what we usually grow up thinking. But what are the examples that Chazal give for Kibbutz of Aim? Ezeo Kavod, 22. Ma'achilo. Feeding our parents. Meaning the ultimate kibbutz of aim is at a stage when our parents can't eat for themselves. That's where real kibbutz of aim comes up. When they're older and we have to help them. Mashkehu, giving them to drink. Malbish, clothing them. Mechase, machnis motzi. V'yitznen alo b'tever panim yafas. And with a smile. Even if I do everything I have to do, if I have a sour face, as if I don't want to be here, right? There's an idea of how we do it, not just not just what we do. Right? The Rambam writes, Mitzvot Av Laben and Kiddushin, Rabim Milispar. I can't even list the things that one has to do for the Mitzvot of Kibbut Avayim. Badibor Aleihem Yarich Ma'od. Right? It's the Arichus. So we have to make sure that we do as much as we can do. So Lamaisa, obviously, when we're with our parents, do everything we could do. In the Lahoris Nassim, Reb Nassim Gestetner, in 24, talks about, this applies, letters and emails and telephone calls. Whatever we know what our parents would appreciate. Just saying, hope everything is good. Now it's so easy. Just sending a WhatsApp, sending an email. The Sefer Chassidim even talks about, comes up as I know as a parent. When you get to where you're going and your parents would want to know that you got there, send them a quick, I'm here, thanks. How often, how many hours go by? Are they there yet? They didn't call. Just think about it. That's kavod. That's focusing on them, right? One of the Balei HaTosfos. Sheyizkor shliach miyad v'yizaktav aviv. Right away, send a letter. Send a letter to your parents. You were in a makom sakana. They want to know that you got there. That's thinking of them. Pilgrim the Taurus Moshe in Parshas Toldos. That's Sam Sofer. He quotes from his great Rebbe, Rav Nathan Adler. So he says, why is this in Parshas Toldos? Because he talks about Yaakov and Esav and Yaakov and Yitzchak. Kumna kederach shebnei ben daber labosei me'oz. Interesting. He says that Yaakov says, please get up. Kumna, he talked straight to his father. He didn't talk in third person. Isn't that interesting? To the greatest Rosh Hashiva in the world, third person, will the Rebbe like, will the Rosh Hashiva want, and like to our parents, and there's a lot of parallels, we talk straight. Nobody ever says, will father want? I don't know, maybe in the old-fashioned, movies, father. No, there it's even straight. They just call their father, right? Instead of dad, but they wouldn't say, would mother want a drink? Like, it's, right, it's not done. But why? So Nathan Adler says, but Esav did it. Medabrim avalashen nistar, yokim avi, kederach shanachrim medabrim. Says Nathan Adler, because your parent is not your Rebbe. Your parent has to be closer than your Rebbe in different ways. It has to be that kira v'divuk. K'moshon medabrim avalashem, we don't talk about Hashem always in third person. We often talk straight. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So parents, yes, we have to have that kavod, but we also should not do it in third person. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you do, you're min ha-matmihim. Right? That's not something, that's not a chumrah that we should aspire to. We should have the closeness with our parents that should exist. Yeah.
What about for seemingly crazy idea? Like, I don't know if that's not the correct word, but like if a parent wants you to call every night while you're in yeshiva.
If your parent wants to call you every night in yeshiva, if your parent wants to want you to call every 4 hours. Every case is different. Every case is different. You have to know, what the situation is, what's reasonable. You could try to talk to the other parent about calming down with the other parents and try to say, I just can't do this. But I think there has to be like a mutual agreed upon, amount. Again, and people, again, we live in a different world. We live in a different world. I remember my year, I was here, my Shana Aleph was the Gulf War, 1990. And so I remember, I think I spoke to my parents once in the first 4 months of the year. And who had what? You had to wait online for the phones and the Asimonim, and they always run out. And it always, whatever. It was like two phones for the whole yeshiva. So you hardly spoke to you. You used to write letters, like these letters that you fold up, airmail letters. We try to write a letter. But like once the war started, so then, I speak more, like once every 2 weeks. But again, it depends on the situation. Okay. An unknown halacha or a halacha that should be known. The Shulchan Aruch says, 28, Chayiv Lamod Mipnei Aviv. That's to stand up for their parents. That's to stand up for their parents. Right? Based on that gemara that we saw earlier, Rav Yosef stood up when he heard his mother coming. Right, when is it? The Birka Yosef says, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about when they're in proximity, when we see them. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, Mole Komaso. Not the old, the little bump up. Mole Komaso. Right? And the Mefarshim talk about that. It's This is halacha. The question is, how often? How often do you have to stand up for your parent? So the Ramah discusses this in Shulchan Aruch. Did I give you that Ramah? I don't know if I gave you all the, maybe it was earlier, but I think the Ramah in earlier. Quotes the Rambam twice daily, right? No more than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You say Shema twice, you can stand up twice. The Shach talks about maybe every time. The Tshuva of Sternbach talks about in 31. Nowadays, there's implicit mechila. There's mechila, like all parents are mochel. So now I'm going to see a hori mochel malakimav. Yaf shagam b'mochel adayin yish mitzvah near sheish b'chalik. Bein mochel machmashino tzorech shebeno yakum or machmashino rota sheyakum. Nowadays, it's because parents feel uncomfortable. I just sit down. Right, you stand up. But it should be done, I would say, and he says also, 2 points. Number one, until they're mochel, it should be done. If the parents say stop, you don't have to. If you stand up, they're like, why are you doing that? So this is something you can't say to your parents. I learned in the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to stand up for your parents. So they would say, it's okay, you could sit and just like listen to everything else I say. Right? But again, we have to be consistent. You know, if they ask us to do 10 chores, I'm like, I really don't have time, but I'll stand up for you. You know, that's, we have to make sure that we're consistent. But number one, it should be done unless the parents mochel. Number two, says if Sternbach, mitzvah the parents, is it so bad that kids are trained to stand up for their parents? Didn't that have a hashpa that wasn't so great in this generation? Maybe that would, that halacha could do something. Maybe you shouldn't be, parents shouldn't be medaktik. But if kids do it, you know, maybe it's not the most unusual thing that a child from a young age, he writes here beautifully, a child from a young age, you know, when his parents come into the room, that they stand up. But again, that's something that covered. Yeah. What? Right, Tamei Chacham, they're also going to be Mechila. Right, that's a perfect example. Tamei Chacham, Tamei Chacham, Jumi Mochel, Mochel. The same halacha would apply. Unless it's in public, Kavanah Torah. There is a big discussion in the post game. We don't really have so much time for this. And that is, what about, quote-unquote, doing something, this is not, it also covered, but the language of the Gemara is keep it up aim. Right, the most famous person who did keep it aveim in the Gemara in Shas is not Jewish. Dama ben Nesina. In Source 32, Kiddushin and elsewhere, right, they wanted to wake him up, wake up your father. We want to buy the jewel for the Choshen. He wouldn't wake up his father. The key was under his pillow. And he was okay to the Paraduma the following year. But either way, the big discussion of, so if your father would win $1 billion, but he's sleeping, so I'm not waking him? Like, what if you know that he would want you to wake him? So what did he want Dhamma to have woken him in this case? That the Rishonim discussed that in that Gemara and Kedushin. We don't have time to get totally into it. But there is room to be flexible that if something is the to'elos of the father, then one could wake him. Let's say your father says, please wake me for mincha. Wake me for mincha. So if he asks you, and you're the one home, so then wake him for mincha in a soft, nice way. If there's somebody else in the house, I remember growing up, I felt very uncomfortable. I remember if my mother was ever home, I just went to my mom and said, you know, daddy told me that I should wake him, could you please? I'm uncomfortable. But again, but it's l'shem mitzvah, it's mutter. Father asked you to do something like that, if there's any type of revach. But again, that's one big discussion, which we're not going to totally have right now. Yeah. If he does not ask you, but do you know he would want to be woken? If you don't know if he wants to be woken, again, it's not you're not your father's mochiach and Rebbe. So if you don't, if you're not sure, if you know he would want you to be woken, so I would assume that's the same thing, that you can. But if your father, you know, would not want to be woken, that's not your responsibility. Not your responsibility. There is a big discussion about, we know Rashi already quotes in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, if my father asked me to do an Aveira, my mother asked me to do an Aveira, I'm not allowed to listen. Right? The same person who is Chayim and Kibbutz Aveim, you know, he's Chayim like Bechal Shabbos, he also has to keep Shabbos, and he's allowed to tell me to do an Aveira. What happens if I want to do a mitzvah and my parents don't want me to? Could a person make aliyah if their parents really don't want them to? That is a big discussion in the postgame. Is that like telling your child, to do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. So that is a big discussion. I would say every situation is unique, right? There's no one psak on this. You know, I have a friend from years ago who's an only child who really wanted to move, but he didn't because he's an only child. But again, I'm not saying that's for sure the answer. There's also a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. But that is a big discussion. The Mabit writes and the Pasa Shulchan or the Yisrael Mishklov writes that you do not have to listen. You can make aliyah. And others are, say, if you view it as a mitzvah kiyumis, not a chiyuvis, then there's more flexibility. But that is one discussion. The other point to mention, and again, this is really, I apologize for not being able to give this proper time, but again, you have the sources here. You have the sources here. What about things that don't have to do directly with them? They voice their opinion. Which yeshiva you go to? You want to go to one yeshiva, your parents want you to go to a different yeshiva. Which girl you want to marry? Assuming that it's not directly going to affect them, that it's not a girl from a family who has a terrible reputation and now your parents' business is going to be ruined. We're not talking about those. No, it's just a girl that... So there's a Maharik, a famous Maharik, that talks about that that's not shayach to them. That's your decision. And again, these are big issues. And just what Rav Palm says, just in 41, one has to have a long-term view in all of these situations, meaning to try to work things out in a way that everybody's happy and to try to do our best in regarding a lot of these issues. But again, this is a big discussion. Actions or mitzvos or chumros that don't directly affect my parents. What if I want to do a chumrah that, let's say I live in a neighborhood that nobody wears their tzitzis out, and I want to wear my tzitzis out, and my parents are really embarrassed about it. So let's assume that wearing tzitzis out is a chumrah, it's not a din that you have to do. So what about a chumrah against kibbutz of aim? What about aliyah and kibbutz of aim? So maybe we'll make this into a separate sheer topic about where we have different values that that go against each other. Personal versus communal. There's a lot of interesting issues. But again, you have the Ma'arik here in 39 and a couple of other issues. But again, we should do our best to try to fulfill this as much as we can every day of a person's life for this B'chayivu B'moso. B'chayivu B'moso, that this mitzvah comes up. And it's, again, if it means, I say it every week also, send your parents to Divrei Torah. Send them on Thursday, Friday. And it's better to send it in writing than a voice message, because then they could print it out, they could bring it to the Shabbos table. So, it's Talmud Torah, it's Kibbutz of Aim. There's so many things. They'll print it out, they'll bring it to the table, they'll think their tuition money is working. And there's so many good things about that. So please, try to do that. Easy Kibbutz of Aim. Okay, we'll stop here.